And please turn your Bibles to Revelation 16, 18. Last week we did a quick review of the first 16 chapters of Revelation, and we finished in the end of chapter 16, which we're going to do a few verses of just quick review that fit in with our study today, with the seventh bowl of wrath, the last bowl of wrath. And it's going to be so important when we get into our study a couple weeks from now, because Wes Bentley's coming next week. But a couple weeks from now, we're going to do chapter 18, the fall of the Babylonian system, and the people sitting in their ships off the coast and going, wow, you know, Babylon's done, and, you know, what's happened to the world? We need to realize when that's happening, part of what they're seeing is a global earthquake that destroys all the topography of the world. I mean, all the cities are being destroyed. All of the walls are falling down. Everything, there is a global earthquake like the earth has never seen. And at the same time, Jesus is coming back when all that's happening. So God is, at the last judgment, when that bowl of judgment happens, that is, it's all, chapter 17, 18, 19 is really all, at the same time, the second coming of Jesus. So in Revelation 16, 18, the bowl of the seventh bowl of the wrath of God, the final wrath being poured out on the world and because of the rejection of Jesus. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now, the great city, which is what's Jerusalem, was divided into three parts, and we'll cover that in chapter 19. And the cities of the nations fell. All the cities of all the nations on the planet are going to fall. Everything's being destroyed. And it'll be fire. Because as the earthquake is going to be breaking open the crust and volcanic activity and judgment by fire, Peter says, as the world was judged by water in the days of Noah, it's going to be judged by fire in the last days. The place is going to be burning up. And the cities will divide in three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and Great Babylon, which is going to be part of our study for chapters 17 and 18, the final world system, was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and great hail from heaven fell on men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent, 75 pounds thereabouts. Men blasphemed God because of the plagues of the hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. And so, you know, at this time, chapter 17 is happening, 18, 19, it's a second coming of Jesus, and the cities will be destroyed as Jesus comes and he restores the planet. He's going to come and put an end to all the judgment, and he's going to set up his kingdom with those that we were going to talk about when we get to chapter 19. And then chapter 17, and this is a very difficult chapter. I mean, it is. I don't know that what I'm going to teach you today is the way it's really going to go. Nobody does, actually. There's so many different views. It's my best shot. I've read and heard many, many, many prophecy teachers over the years, and so I'm doing my best shot here. But some of the things of Revelation are going to be best understood after they've passed. And you know, a lot of this we've been able to know what's going on. This is my best shot at it after 40-some years of studying prophecy, but I just want to give that disclaimer. And we're going to start by just really reading the whole chapter. And verses 1 through 7 are talking about the woman who rides a beast. 8 through 14 is describing and interpreting, you know, certain aspects of this beast. And then 15 through 17 talks again about the woman and also about the beast. So we're going to first read the whole thing, and then we're going to look at the woman, and then we're going to look at the end of the chapter about the woman. So we get the whole picture of the woman that's riding the beast. And then if we have time, we'll get to 8 through 14, which is the beast itself. So this is, you'll see why it's complicated to understand this chapter as we read through. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls of wrath that have just been poured out on the earth, and each, there were seven different angels that poured those bowls out, came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot, who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, I'm going to say the false religions of the world is the woman, and the scarlet beast is the government. The governments of the world that have always used religion to further their plans of conquest over the people, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden bowl full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which was the seven heads and ten horns, which has the seven heads and ten horns. And so then it starts to talk about the beast, and it goes back to the woman. So now it's talking about the beast, the governments, the global government attempts, and the final one when Jesus comes back. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come, and when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings, who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast, to the Antichrist, in the last days, future to us. These will make war with the Lamb. They'll make war with Jesus at his second coming. And the Lamb will overcome them. Praise Jesus, right? Overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. We're coming back with Jesus. Then it shifts to verse 15. You know, now it's going back to talk about the beast and woman relationship. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues, whole world. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, and to give their kingdom to the beast, to the Antichrist, all authority to the Antichrist, until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. So, would we all agree that's going to be a hard one to try and figure out?
Yeah.
So, we're going to give it a shot, though. Very hard, but we're going to go verse by verse and look at some history and look at the scriptures, interpreting scriptures, and see if we can understand. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. Well, we just read verse 15. So now, so this harlot is sitting on many waters. What are the waters? What do the waters mean? Verse 15 tells us. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. In the last days, the mystery Babylon harlot will be over the entire world. So at the time that Jesus is coming back, there's this mystery Babylon harlot, which we're going to explain, is going to be global, which that should be no surprise for those of you that have been following through the scriptures, starting the first time we're looking at the book of Daniel. And book of Daniel, when he sees the last attempt at global government, and he sees the Antichrist in chapter 7 of Daniel, he says, this one was a mighty, God, I want to know more about that last beast, that last world system, because it rules the whole world. So in the last days, there's going to be a governmental last days system that's going to have a global, religious system. The woman is going to be riding the beast, and it's going to be everybody on the planet. No escaping. So, in the, you know, let's say that we're close to this happening. Is there any organization on the earth today that has religious, you know, it could fit the billet of being a whore that wants to rule religiously over the whole world? Is there anybody that's like that in America, in the world today? Yeah, the Catholic Church. And I'm, since I was a young Christian, prophecy teachers have been saying that the false prophet will be out of the Catholic Church and this whore religion is going to be the Catholic Church, which is morphing. Have you noticed that the church is morphing? It used to be, have its own dogma, but recently it's been changing from its own dogma to embrace all the different religions. That's the Babylonian system of the last days. It's going to embrace them all. It used to be you could say, you know, if the kid says, well, do I have to make my bed before I go to school? And what do we usually say? Is the Pope Catholic? You know, like that's such an obvious answer. You say yes. You say, is the Pope Catholic? Well, now that's not so good because even the Pope's not Catholic in the doctrines of the Catholic Church. So you have to use something else now. I have some other ones, but I'll skip it for this. And really, it's the Roman Catholicism along with, on the Protestant side of it, which is embracing Catholicism, is the Rick Warren, emerging, purpose-driven, progressive church that is just exploding in this country. For those that, you know, Rick Warren got the church away from the Word of God, got into his just have purpose, telling all of his adherents, you know, the Pope's doing a great job. He's unifying the religions of the world. He's bringing unity to the church. And calls it my Pope. And so, see that what's happening is the world is being dumbed down on the doctrines of salvation, which we'll cover here in a minute, as becoming this progressive, all-encompassing, just feel-good, do-good religion of the Antichrist. And it's happening. It's forming. And with whom the kings of the earth, and I think this is kings of the earth throughout history, because this woman that's riding the beast has been around for all of history, and it's always been with the kings committing fornication. Now, when the Bible talks about a system committing fornication, what does it mean? You know, is it talking about actual fornication like a man and a woman? Or is it talking about spiritual fornication? It's spiritual. It's a spiritual fornication. And what does that mean? That means, you know, we have a relationship with God as the bride of Christ. Everybody here that's truly born again, you're a bride of Christ. Everybody that's trying to get to God through some other way, it's idolatry. And it is harlotry. And God doesn't recognize that person. He doesn't recognize that person as part of the bride of Christ, part of the church. And yet they're in church, and they'll say they're Christians. They'll get baptized, they'll read their Bible, but they haven't really, really trusted in the tenets of Jesus is the only way to be saved. And as Dan said during the Gideon time, these people that have to humble themselves and say, God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And so fornication, it's idolatry. It's worshiping false gods, no matter what they are. And we're going to list some here. And the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Just like somebody that wants. Is it easy to get people into drugs and alcohol? It is. You know, you bring a friend. Come on, let's have a drink. Let's get some drugs. It's easy. Why? Because our fallen flesh wants to pamper the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. What does it take to say, no, I'm a servant of Jesus. I don't want to become a drunkard. I don't want to become a druggie. I want to serve Jesus. That's very rare. It's very rare today for people to have that conviction. And so when Satan inspires people to pick up other gods, pick up these Christian books that have nothing to do about Christianity, biblical Christianity, but have to do with idolatrous false religions, they suck them up and they embrace them, and the churches changes, the pastors change their message, the churches change their message away from the shed blood of Jesus saving people from sin. And you can hardly hear repent of your sins and come to Jesus, who is the only way, the truth, and the life. It's getting rarer and rarer because the church is even being intoxicated with the fornication of the false church that swept the land. And it's going to be in the last days. You know, here's a quote I was reading. One of the best ways to keep from being led to the whore religion is to not read Christian books. Christian books. And as I've said before, You know, we're going around a room one day. What's your favorite author and what's your favorite book? When it got to me, it was a bunch of people I used to, swim with. Used to swim with because until COVID. And we were just having a Christmas thing. And it got to me and I said, I love this one author so much, I read all 66 of his books every year. And they go, wow, what author is that? And, you'll probably notice the Bible. Oh, yeah. But see, if you do that, I'm telling you, you get away from the subtle, demonic, twistings of these big, charismatic people. And you just get all into the Word of God first. Just get the Word of God in your heart. Then you've got a protection. You've got a net. You have a discernment because you know when they're lying to you. So anyway, but this book is about exposing the progressive church heresy. And so here's this lady, mover shaker lady, Christian, grew up Christian, mover shaker, musician. I'm not going to tell you the book because I'm not done with it. Because it might be a deception itself. I'm liking it so far. But so she gets handpicked. She finds a church, a really charismatic guy, and the pastor goes, I want you to be in a special discipleship group at the church. And so then when they have their meeting, their first meeting was, I'm not here as a pastor. I'm here as the facilitator. And we're going to facilitate discussions about what we believe and should believe or don't believe about the scriptures. And then he sat down and as he goes, virgin birth. What about the virgin birth? So after the discussion, he goes, so really, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether there was a virgin birth of Jesus. Now, is that true?
No.
I'll tell you what, if you don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus, then you're calling the word of God a lie. You're calling Jesus a lie. And that is not healthy in relationship with God. So this pastor, he's a pastor. He's a schmoozing pastor that led this whole group astray. Virgin birth doesn't matter. Resurrection, maybe, but you don't have to believe it. Do you have to believe in the resurrection of Jesus?
Oh, yes.
Inerrancy of Scripture, absolutely not. No way of the inerrancy of Scripture. So we can pick and choose what we want. This really wasn't the Word of God. It's funny because I just read this week. We spent the last few weeks as a church going over the doctrines of the church, and we spent a lot of time on those very issues. The virgin birth, it's non-negotiable. If he wasn't born of a virgin, then he isn't the Son of God. And if he's not the Son of God, he's not fulfilling the prophecies of the Son of God of Psalm 2. That means that he's just a man. And if he's just a man, he can't die on the cross for our sins and take the wrath of God that was deserved to us upon himself to die in our place and give us life. And how can we believe in life and eternal life if he didn't resurrect? And yet, this woman, born and raised in the church, it shook her faith. Because this schmoozing and everybody, and she goes, I was looking around the room and everybody's going, wow, this is great. Another thing taught there is Brian McLaren. Brian McLaren was taught during this class. His book, A Generous Orthodoxy, he's the father of the emerging church movement. And he taught, in The Generous Orthodoxy, he taught on seven Jesuses. And it's like the seven Jesus versions, each based on different denominations or religions, understanding who Christ is. So he goes, well, what do these people think about? What do the Mormons think about Jesus? What do the Jehovah's Witnesses think about Jesus? What do the Catholics think about Jesus? What do Muslims think about Jesus? And then he says, each based on different denominational understandings who Christ is, and he says, celebrate them all. Now, we're going to celebrate the one Jesus, the biblical Jesus, the only one that can save. And see, why would he say that? Because he's under the inspiration of Satan to be part of the whore of Babylon, to just prepare the world, all the nations of the world. If you're going to have global government, what do you have to have? Global religion. You can't have this religion fighting this religion and this religion because you don't have unity. And so the globalists that are inspired by Satan to bring about the kingdom of the Antichrist that's coming, they know they need a religious unity too. And so they hire and market and book sell these guys and train them up and find movers and shakers, shake their faith, turn them into change agents to go out throughout the church, and pretty soon nobody's preaching Jesus. Nobody's preaching the biblical Jesus. Nobody's mentioning the blood of Jesus and the cross. And you must be born again. You must die to yourself and have everlasting life. We're not going to get drunk with the religion of the harlot, right? Don't drink it. If you see a book that's spouting out that kind of stuff, burn it. Don't even go away. Don't gift it. Don't throw it in the recycled book that other people's libraries get. We don't want to be drunk with the wine of her fornication. And it's deadly. And I've watched it in my Christian lifetime. I've watched it absolutely, totally change the Christian church. There's hardly anything left of it. Praise God for the remnant. And I hope to stick on the truth, even though we're maligned for doing so by the emergent progressive church that's out there. So he carried me, verse 3, away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw the woman sitting on the scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And we already know from verse 9 and 10, 7 heads are 7 mountains that the woman sits on, and also 7 kings. And we'll cover that in 9 and 10. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. So the woman, the whore church, the whore religious system will be wealthy. Is it wealthy?
Yes.
How wealthy is the whore? You know, again, what system fits that the best in the world today? It's the Catholic Church. They are everywhere. How wealthy are they? They're the wealthiest landowners on the face of the planet. And if you go to wealthiest organizations, they'll say, first of all, it's Queen Elizabeth, but that she owns Canada, England, Scotland. So, you know, because she's the queen of those different areas. You know, so you pull out the ones that are nation states, Saudi Arabia too, because he's over Saudi Arabia. You get rid of the nation state stuff and you just like, what organization is the richest on the planet? The Catholic Church. Millions of acres. And they're the wealthiest. And why? Because throughout the centuries, religion playing off of the innate fear of what happens to me when I die, they are able to say, wow, you know, a little, throw a coin in the plate, and out of purgatory, another soul will spring, you know, or whatever the Catholic thing was during the Inquisitions. You pay us money, and we'll get you out. And that's why Catholics are told, you know, if you really care for your loved ones or families, then you put in some money in the Mass card, and we guarantee we're going to pray for them. And all of a sudden, they feel like, well, the church has to save them, so here's the money. And it's a whore way. Because what did Jesus do? Did he charge us to be forgiven of the sins? He shed his blood freely. So it's rich. Think of the priests of Egypt. You look at when Joseph was collecting money from everybody else. You know, you want grain? You got to give me money for the Pharaoh. And then they said, we're out of money. Well, then give me your herds and your flocks. Okay, we're out of them too. Give me your land. We're out of them too. Give me your life for Pharaoh. You know who was excluded? The priests. The Babylonian whore system of the day. They didn't have to do any of that. And on her forehead the name was written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Let's turn to Genesis 11:1, because we need to understand, and I alluded to it last week, but I thought, you know, this week I thought, we might as well just read it instead of just talking about it. Right after the flood of Noah, men are populating again on the earth over in the area of Iraq. because there is the ruins of the Babylonian city there to this day. There's a ruins. Some people think the actual ruins of the Tower of Babel are there to this day. You can see ruins of a ziggurat, and they don't know which one, you know, because there's lots of ziggurats, but this might have been the one. Genesis 11:1, now the whole earth had one language and one speech, descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, you know, Noah's sons and their wives. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, just a few miles away from Baghdad. And they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, and this is so important, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. They were afraid of judgment again, according to Josephus. And they said, we got to make a name for ourselves. We got to make it so God can't get us again. And so that we won't be scattered abroad over the face, we need to be unified. We need to be unified in our control of all mankind. But the Lord came down, you know, Agenda 2030 or 21 and stuff that the globalists want to do. They want to have complete control so people aren't scattered, so we can be in complete charge of every person on the planet. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Isn't that amazing? You know, us created in the image of God, God knows that our full potential, when unrestrained by fear of God, and therefore being able to be led by Satan, there is no manner of evil that we won't do. We will come up with things that you would think would be sci-fi. Has that happened? How about this week? About, you know, a monkey, they're making monkey human hybrids this week has been in the news. Yeah. Chimeras. They're genetically doing this and they're going, well, you know, maybe this isn't ethical because we're really doing it to be able to have them so close to humans, we can have monkeys / humans to grow organs so that if somebody needs a heart transplant or a liver transplant, but at what point, how are we going to test, you know, that when it starts talking to us, because it's a chimp that has enough human that it can talk to us, and we go, well, now is it enough human that we can kill it to get its heart, or is it not enough human? And there's going to be ethical problems associated with this. And that's just one thing. How many other things are men doing that are full of evil, probably inspired by Satan to destroy and to just create this kind of world that we're living in today? Harvesting out, getting children into sex trafficking happens. Child trafficking happens. It is real. It's not QAnon. It's really happening. And this is a $1 billion industry is going to grow out of helping old people stay young that can afford it by taking blood transfusions from young people because they have better stem cells that can maintain the youthfulness of the recipient. And it's even better if you scared them, if you scared the kid and got their adrenaline going before you take their blood. They're doing it. Is that wicked? Nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from. So he gives them different languages and scatters them. Well, what's happened now in the last days because of technology? All the languages are coming back together and it's being unified. And as we all get unified, the world is going on a heyday inspired by Satan to do evil like the world has never seen. Come, so then God says, come let us. Who's us? Jesus isn't deity, the Holy Spirit isn't deity, who's us? Let us go down and there confuse the languages that they may not understand one another's speech and scatter them. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, which became the city of Babylon, which now in Revelation is being talked about that she's the mother, the whore mother of all perversion. And so where did it all start? It started with man saying, you got us once, you're not going to get us again. We're going to unify. We're going to do what we want to do. You can't stop us. And we're going to be doing evil as much as we can. And throughout history, man has been shaking their fists at God in various different religious systems, ignoring the true God, Yahweh, who through the years, many millennia or hundreds of years, used the Jews as a witness. And he said, no, we got to kill those Jews. And now he's using the church as a witness. And now they're saying, no, get out of our life. Confused the language of all the earth, and there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. Let's go back to Revelation 17:5. The mother of all harlots. All religious systems that have departed from the true relationship with God are harlots that have had their mother back to Babylon, back to Genesis chapter 11. On her forehead was written, Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon. Might not be an actual literal city. It might actually just be the whole system. The whole system of the last days Antichrist. Babylon the Great, the mother of all harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And only Christianity wants to make a name for Jesus, right? All the religions of the world are trying to make a name for themselves. Their organizations. Only Christianity is to make a name for Jesus. We're the ones that worship Jesus who saved us from sin. Everything else is join our club and you're going to be in. You're going to become a god. You're going to this. You're going to that. The rebellion of man. How do we apply? Well, how do we apply whether you're product of the whore system or you're set free from the whore system because you believe in the biblical Jesus? Why are you going to heaven? What's the answer? Why are you going to heaven? Everybody think in your mind. Again, 99% of the people you talk to, if they think they're going to heaven, it's because they're a good person. What is that? Is that the whore Babel religion? Yes, it is. It's the idolatry of self-righteousness. The idolatry of I deserve to go to heaven, and if he doesn't like it, he's got a problem. When he says you're not going to get to heaven without his son Jesus. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son has not, does not have life. And the wrath of God abides on him still. You better be coming to heaven at the pearly gates of heaven with Jesus on you and his shed blood on you, or otherwise you're part of the whore Babylonian system. I belong to a Church of Christ, Mormons, J-Dubs, Catholics. And I was talking to somebody who's witnessing to a Church of Christ. Nope, you have to be part of our church. Jehovah's Witness, you have to be part of our church. Catholics, you have to, you know, it used to be until, again, the Pope wasn't Catholic. You have to be our church. Now you can be everybody as long as you don't hold your doctrine and, you know, to be special and you can be part of the global religion. Idolatry of organizations. In fact, I know some King James only people that they have, instead of the cross, they have 1611. I fear for them. You know, did 1611 King James die on the cross for our sins? Or is our claim to fame as Christians not the version of a translation Bible that I read, but Jesus Christ who died on the cross for my sins? People trust in religions. They can trust in a Bible. They can have all kinds. You know, I've been baptized. I gave to the church. I don't swear in church. Idolatry of works. Idolatry of I'm going to do something. And now, the one that sets you free from Babylonian idolatry, I confess to God that I deserve to go to hell, that I've sinned against him and against man. And he told me, I'm really sinning against God because God said don't sin against man. And so every time you're sinning against one another, we're sinning against God. And I deserve to be separated from him forever. But because he so loved me, he sent his son Jesus into the world that if I would say, God, I have been sinning and I want you to rule my life and I want you to forgive me for the things that I've done in violation of your law and your rejection of your son Jesus and just living for myself and the lust of the eyes, the lust of flesh, the pride of life. And I just want to just surrender right now. I want to just like somebody fighting and just saying, I'm pinned. I want you to pin me. I give up. Change me. Save me. You said you would save me and forgive me. And I want to receive your gift of everlasting life. Then you become a bride of Christ instead of part of the Babylonian horse system. Verse 5, again, mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of all harlots. All religions of the world are harlotry in the eyes of God except for biblical Christianity. And the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Let's turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 46. You know, for those people that are going to be tribulation saints, they miss the rapture. They miss the rapture, but then they realize, wow, I should have listened to those Christians. And they bow the knee then. They believe in the true Jesus. You know, who's most likely to kill him? It's going to be the religious system of the Antichrist. Because they're going to be in violation of, you know, drunk with the blood of the saints. Mystery Babylon has, for all of the centuries, really, drunk with the blood of the saints. And where did it all start? Well, we see Luke, you know, in Luke chapter 11, verse 46, Jesus is talking to the scribes and Pharisees of his day, saying, you guys are drunk with the blood of the saints because you, in your Judaism, are also part of the whore religion of Babylon. And he said, woe to you, also lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. What is the burdens that the lawyers and scribes and Pharisees were laying on the people? If you want to be right with God, you eat kosher, you go to the feasts, you strain in a gnat. you don't have any, you know, you do all these laws that are ceremonial laws and all this other stuff. And then if you're just as righteous as us, but we're going to go back in the back room and get drunk because you can't see us because we're holy people. You know, through the history, you know, what God said once is, hey, Ezekiel, dig under the wall of the temple and look at what they're doing in there. They're worshiping everything in the temple, but they go out and look really spiritual. And you yourselves don't touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, but your fathers killed them. Oh, here's Isaiah, here's this. But it was your prophets, it was your fathers that killed them, and you're going to kill, you know, Jesus saying, and you're going to kill me. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. For from the blood of Abel. Why did Abel's blood spill? He wanted to worship God God's way. God's way was that an innocent animal had to be sacrificed. His brother said, I don't know, God should be able to take my wheat. And he shouldn't have to make me buy a lamb from you with my wheat. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to get to God my way. If he doesn't like it, then tough for him. And so, well, okay. Abel says, well, brother, I'm going to do it God's way. I want to be righteous in his sight. I want to obey him. And so the brother killed him. The religious system of a self-righteous, I want to do it my way, brother, kills the one who loves Jesus. From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple, yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you hindered. The false religious system doesn't get people to heaven. And people that are looking, oh, I need God. I'm going to go to that church. I'm going to go to that church. And that pastor will help me get to God. And he says, you know, virgin birth doesn't really matter. Resurrection doesn't matter. Just come here and be part of our church. And let's do good things for the community. And so that Christians can have a good reputation in the neighborhood. And then people will become Christians and come in and fill up this church and put a coin in the plate. And so they want to come to God, but they get deceived by the false Babylonian whore church. And then they don't know how to get saved. And their blood, the blood, it's going to be on their head, the deceiver's head. Brian McLaren's head, very millions sold. Rick Warren, millions sold. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. And it will be extreme during the Antichrist kingdom, the false religion of the final day. Why? Because everybody on the planet that worships God dies. And, you know, some people have written, Dave Hunt, who's now with Jesus, he wrote The Woman Rides the Beast. And he goes, he just examined the history of the Inquisitions and other things that the Catholic Church did against the true Christians of the day. You know, yeah, there's a group that's drunk with the blood of the saints. But the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and 10 horns. Let's go to verse 16, because we're going to skip over the explanation of the beast, and it is going to have to be for next week. And we're going to go and finish the whore that rides on the beast. By the way, did you know that within Greek mythology, there's a woman that rides the beast? And you know what it is? It's the bull, who's Zeus. You know who's Zeus? The same as Roman mythology, Jupiter. And who is that? The head of the pantheon of gods. Who is that that we know? Satan. It's Satan, the powerful bull of a Greek mythology is Zeus, Satan. And the woman, Europa, rides the beast. And did you know, in the European common market, the euro features the woman that rides the beast. Outside of one of their headquarters, there's a, you know, you walk in, like in, when you go to the stock market in New York, you see the bull out there on the street. In Europe, you see the woman riding the beast, Europa. And what's the mythology? The mythology is that the bull is just going along and he sees these fair maidens. And so then he picks out one that he specifically likes. What does global government really need? I need a good looking woman that's going to be able to reproduce and unify the world. And so Satan picks up religion. And puts him on the back, and then he blitzes out of the way because people are going, look what's going on. And he goes real quick to get away from any detractors. And then goes, has offspring to create other gods through Greek mythology. Verse 16, the 10 horns, which are the 10 kings of the Antichrist, which we'll catch 2 weeks from now. And the 10 horns, who are the 10 global nations, global states, of the global world order, which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose to be of one mind. The Antichrist and the 10 governors of the final global government of the world are going to be of one mind. And what's the mind of the Antichrist the last 3.5 years of history before Jesus comes back? What does he do 3.5 years into the 7-year tribulation? What does he do? He puts a stop to the whole religion of sacrificial system in Jerusalem. He puts a stop to all of the variations of the whore church of the global religion throughout the world. Because why? He goes into the temple, declares himself to be God, and from then on, he's the only one to be worshipped. And so the Satan inside of the Antichrist is going to say, I don't need any of that religion anymore. Because now the Antichrist is solely to be worshipped as God, or everybody on the planet dies. And so he's going to go, okay, you governors, shut down Catholics, Mormons, everything else that's just been all getting along for this final religion of the Antichrist, and just shut it all down. Anybody that doesn't worship the Antichrist is dead. So they'll burn her. They'll burn this whole religion, and because they're all of one mind, until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman who he saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. And there will be a great city that is part of that system, the headquarters of it, and many people think it's the Vatican. I don't know what it's going to be, but we see it just everywhere. We see this unified destruction of truth throughout the world, and this powerful Antichrist global Babylonian religious system being formed. And it's going to be harder to resist it. Like we've been saying, you know, the pastor up in Canada, he's trying to resist the draconian powers of the government telling him that he can't worship the true Jesus. And then they put him in solitary for over 4 weeks. Then they let him out on Resurrection Sunday. He has a church service. Oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. You're worshiping the true Jesus on resurrection service. And so then they put a fence around his church. And then the people of the church says, you're not going to keep us out of here. We're going to worship the real Jesus. We're not part of your whore system. We're not part of your beast. We're here as the children of God. We're here as the bride of Christ, and we're going to worship our Jesus who saved us from sin. Okay. We're going to just take down these fences and go. Oh. So then they send 200 troops. And they surround the church again. And so now that church, by Pastor Coates, and I listened to his sermon. He's a solid bride of Christ guy. He's not saying, oh, it doesn't matter about the virgin birth. It doesn't matter about he's not part of the whore church. And so now they have to find a building big enough for the congregation and secretly go to that building. In Canada. That has a constitution, you know, I call it a constitution, that prevents that kind of action. So do you think that our constitution is going to keep it from being a problem here? Absolutely not. Why? Because the whore church, the beast, the woman that rides the beast is forming before our very eyes. And the Bible told us it was going to happen in the last days. And it's going to go global. And it is. So what does that mean? We're in the last of the last days. And, you know, as we were saying during announcements, who knows what's going to happen over in Ukraine and stuff. And they're talking about when the war starts, it's going to go nuke real quick. Peace builders are just going to push buttons. Because why? Because there's the wickedness of thinking, you know, my power of what I want to do means I can kill millions of people just with a push of a button. How wicked do you have to be? How lustful for power do you have to be? And the Bible indicates that it's going to happen someday. Maybe it won't happen as the people are promising this week. Maybe somebody will blink and step back from the precipice. But we know our Jesus is coming. Let's worship him until he does. Let's stay true to the gospel, no matter what they do to try and shut us down. We're going to skip the trying to find a building, and we're going to go right to homes, you know, if we have to. And that's why we're trying to plan, because if we don't plan now, then we might not have the time, because we don't know how much time we have left. But things are changing rapidly in this world, because this is being formed before our eyes. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the promises you've given us. That if we don't deny you before man, that you won't deny us before the Father on judgment day. That if we do just humble ourselves and believe and trust in you, that your blood will certainly wash away our sins. That if we believe and trust your promises to change us, to send the Holy Spirit and change us, that we should all sense that there is a Holy Spirit inside of us and that we're possessed by you. And we know that Ephesians says that's a down payment. We know that sensing of your Spirit inside of us is the down payment that we know you're going to deliver us from this wicked world and bring us safely into your kingdom. And God, if there's anybody here that has never been possessed of you, they have never trusted in you, they have never believed with their heart and soul of a need for a Savior to be set free from sin and to be forgiven. And God, that you would convict them while there's still time. And Lord, that they would just talk to a friend or neighbor or whoever's with them to just, I want to be saved. I want to be ready for when Jesus comes. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship God in this song.
Savior, the hope of nations. as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. Give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. I surrender. And conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine light, let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light, let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, you can move the mountains. God, you are mighty to save. You are mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. You rose and conquered the grave. Yes, you conquered the grave. You're my Savior. You can move the mountains. God, you are mighty to save. You are mighty to save forever, author of salvation. You rose and conquered the grave. Yes, you conquered the grave. You are mighty to save.
How do we know Christianity is right? Empty tomb. Oh, I don't really believe in the resurrection. Empty tomb. We know it's the truth. Risen and ascended in front of many eyewitnesses. A few days later, you know, Pentecost came and people are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the church, the true churches thrive for all these centuries because it's real if you believe in the true gospel. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.